Chapter 17. The Symbols and Calendar of Wicca. As we've seen on our long journey through witchcraft, Wicca is just another name for witchcraft, and its occult practices have spread all over the world since the origin of witchcraft and other occult behaviors at the Tower of Babel. The only protection from witchcraft is for Christians, and it's through the power of Jesus' authority over evil. So, if you have not been born again, you can speak to Jesus right now and get out of demonic oppression. Praise Jesus. As I did years ago. A huge portion of this study has shown that the Bible is right again when it tells us there is nothing new. Wicca is the same old witchcraft that came out of Babylon and then went to Egypt, Greece, Rome, Asia, India, and the nearby island nations, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. That last spawning ground is where the latest version of witchcraft, Wicca, came from. We traced the trail of Wicca's origins and how it came to America. We also looked at some generalities of what they believe, which is somewhat hard to codify because individual witches and covens are left to choose from a huge eclectic variety of possible beliefs and practices. Like Eastern religions, the New Age movement, and even our society's overall mindset in the United States today, we saw how Wicca witchcraft allows adherents to supposedly create their own reality. Why? It is because a major belief they have is that they can discern truth through individual experience, which leads to a relativistic philosophy that says, "Whatever I believe is true to me, whatever you believe is true to you, and that is just fine. Making it up as you go." That belief is not only popular in our politically correct culture, but it is also the underpinnings of Wicca witchcraft today. It is just the same old lie Satan originated way back in Genesis 3 when the devil approached Eve to claim she should not listen to God or do what God says. Instead, Satan told her to listen to his suggestions and then she could be like God, deciding good and evil for herself. Then we saw how another core belief of Wiccan witchcraft is supposed to be tolerance. But a Southerner would say they are hypocrites, with that one because they do not tolerate us Christians or even our elected president. That brings us to another core belief of most Wiccans: their Wiccan read says they can do whatever they would like as long as they harm no one. However, does that declaration from Wiccans play out in a peaceful disposition? No. That completely flies in the face of their hexes and spells aimed at harming people, including our president. And frankly, it also goes against witch practices involving the killing of animals and murder of people in their ritual sacrifices. That still goes on today, to say the least. Last time I checked, those behaviors are harmful. So, there is double hypocrisy going on with that. Then we talked about their core belief in animism, which claims that a life force exists in all things, and that leads to their related belief in pantheism that says all things are God. The latter uncovers more of their hypocrisy, and even illogical thinking, because they also adhere to polytheism, that is the practice of worshipping many supposedly separate gods. But how can you believe there are many gods, which implies that everything is not a god, and then claim you also believe in pantheism that claims all is God? It makes no sense. Again, it's hard to say these beliefs are universal to Wiccans, because any coven can pop up and say they don't do this or that. That said, what it boils down to is that most of Wiccans subscribe to dual theism, which means worshipping only two main deities. Of course, it is all demonic and untrue, because God has let us know in the Bible that there is only one God and He is God. That is not just biblical, it's also plain logic. By definition, God is the supreme being who is all-powerful, all-knowing and everywhere present at the same time. If there was another God, then neither could be supreme because they would have someone that can compete with them. It is illogical to say there is more than one supreme being because, by definition, you then would have no supreme being at all. The idea of more than one is ridiculous but does not keep Wiccans from worshipping both a female mother goddess and a male horned god. Those beliefs are where we left off in the last chapter, and now, we are going to move on to their symbolism. In the next chapter we'll talk about some of their practices. But before we look at their symbolism, once again, let's continue to look at the Bible's warnings that tell us to never, ever, ever get involved in witchcraft and other occult practices. Isaiah 8:11-22 talks about fearing God, who is the one and only God. He made the heavens and earth, so only He is worthy of worship. He alone is holy and without sin. Therefore, we need to do what He tells us and not listen to people, especially witches and other occultists. Unfortunately, Israel listened to occult people in their day, and boy does God have strong words for those like Israel who make that mistake. Here is what God says.
"This is what the Lord says to me with His strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy, do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy, He is the one you are to fear, he is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place, for both Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall.
They are being disciplined by God because they are not following him and doing what he says to do. Here is more of what God said to Isaiah in these first two sentences, and then Isaiah adds his comments after.
And for the people of Jerusalem he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble, they will fall and be broken, they will be snared and captured. Bind up this testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him.
Again, God is disciplining Israel for disobedience, and we'll find out what that defiance was as Isaiah continues with what he said after the Lord's warning.
Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion.
Israel was to be a sign, symbol or light unto the Gentiles. God wanted others to be able to look at the Jewish people and see them as a symbol pointing to God and that everyone is in need of a Savior. But that is not what they were doing. Isaiah tells us what they were following instead.
When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, who whisper and mutter.
When we think they are speaking in so-called tongues, they may actually be sitting around whispering and muttering their incantations, just as the occult has done since Babel. And they are still doing it today. Here is more from Isaiah asking why Israel would listen to those crazy people when they have God's law. He can't believe this nutty stuff they are doing.
When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead, necromancy, on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction, and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, God's word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land, when they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness.
Why was God disciplining them so hard? It was because, once again, they were not doing what God said to do. They were not following God even though our Lord will never lead us astray. There will never be a command from God that is bad for us. But instead of the reliable, tried and true path that comes with doing God's will, they were following the terrible advice and direction of those involved in witchcraft. And what does that lead to? It certainly led to their pain, distress, doom, darkness, and destruction. Yet, with all that already known, because it's been written as hard-earned lessons from man's past, meaning no one else in the future of man will have to go through the similar horrible consequences for ignoring God, these same practices still happen today through Wicca witchcraft and other occult behavior. Anyone who wants to forsake God's word by going down that occult route of listening to flawed, fallen men and women, is going to get the same calamitous results. It's going to catch up to him or her and one day lead to pain, darkness, gloom, and destruction. And dare I say, the awful outcome will not just be for the individual. As these evil practices permeate society, similar consequences can happen for whole nations as it did to Israel when they went down the occult route. That is the rotten fruit of the occult. God's watching it all, and his judgment of sin doesn't change over time. Now, let's continue to look at more Wiccan symbolism. This is not nearly all of them, and I can't even get to all of them because they have way too many symbols to cover here. So, I'm just going to have to hit some of the big guns. I was excited to get to this part because you have probably seen some of these symbols out in society today. You may have noticed them on graffiti, bumper stickers, or tattoos. Not knowing all the symbolism or what it means, we cannot recognize what is being promoted or who's involved with the occult. Graffiti can speak as to whether the occult is in our neighborhoods or if it goes on at night. We have no idea what it means because we do not know the symbols. So, that is what we are going to deal with in this chapter. As we just saw in our scripture text, the situation was sad because Israel was supposed to be a sign and symbol of God. But God had to discipline them because they became a symbol of witchcraft instead. Can you believe that? It is what those people followed at the time, which meant God had to discipline them. When it comes to signs and symbols, that's not a foreign concept. Many belief systems codify their beliefs and symbols, but, as we will see with witchcraft, they also work their symbols into their practices as part of their rituals. Sometimes they carry their symbols around in the form of talismans, good luck charms, and depictions of their gods and goddesses. We'll talk about that in a minute with the triple goddess. But they also wear them for supposed protection. Besides using them to perform rituals and for supposed protection, they also carry and display them because they believe the symbols give them power. They work with symbols in amulets, jewelry, and other trinkets that have to do with energies, spells, and rituals, which are meant to repel negative energies, thoughts, and intentions. So, symbols are a huge part of the occult, especially Wicca and other branches of witchcraft. Let's take a look at a few of those, starting with these two. As you can see there, the one on the left is the goddess that is part of Wiccan dual theism with their female mother goddess and the male horn god. You may have seen either or both and did not know what they were. Now you will recognize them. As you can see with the goddess, there are three aspects to it and those serve a purpose. They are the three phases of the moon with a crescent, full and then another crescent. They represent the three phases of a female goddess worshipper's life. The crescent on the left is the young maiden, the full moon is the mother in the prime of life, and then the right side crescent is the crone, who is old but has wisdom. Wicca's young maiden side of the goddess symbol is a crescent, or waxing moon, which symbolizes fresh starts or new beginnings. And that is because it is supposed to represent the youthful age. For us older folks, we may remember those as the days when we could keep going until 4 a.m. and then get up 2 hours later and head straight to work without missing a beat. Do you remember those days when you could tear it up all week long and still spring from bed each day with your body functioning correctly and zero aches or pains? For some of us that seems like it was 1922, right? But notice they don't just have that goddess symbol for a common identifying image. It also tells them when to do their rituals. During a waxing moon, witches do rituals for new beginnings. The middle circle in that goddess symbol represents the full moon, which is a time witches like to ramp up all magic, witchcraft, because the moon is said to be pregnant with power. That is why you see occultists more active at full moons because they think that's prime time. The waning moon in their goddess symbol represents a time of endings.
It is the best time to perform magic related to banishings, clearings, and endings.
So, when they want to get rid of something, this waning moon is when they go out at night and perform those types of rituals. They also have what is called the new moon.
Many Wiccans do not perform magic on the new moon. It is a time of rest and contemplation.
Another moon phase you have probably heard of is about their blue moon, once in a blue moon. Well, believe it or not, that has significance in the occult because it is the 13th moon of the year. Besides symbols, the occult is hugely into numbers and 13 is certainly a prominent one for them, just as the number 3 is.
The saying once in a blue moon means once in a great while. A blue moon is not a common occurrence. They believe it is a great moon phase for special empowerment during magical workings.
The other symbol you see there next to the goddess is the horn god one. It appears to have a crescent moon on the top and the full moon on the bottom. Of course, that crescent part resembles horns, and it is no shocker because the whole concept is Satan-inspired.
The full moon portion of the symbol is the god's head, and the crescent moon represents the horns. The horned god is a deity representing the wild and untamed natural world, animals, and the primal nature of humankind.
Here's more about that from this video transcript.
Like other religions, Wicca has its own symbols, which carry spiritual meanings and sacred power. You have likely seen some of them before. So, here is an opportunity to learn their meanings and origins. The triple moon is a symbol of the goddess that represents the maiden, mother, and crone. These are considered to be the three stages in a woman's life and are represented by the waxing, full, and waning moon. This symbol is also associated with feminine energy, mystery, and psychic abilities. The horned god is the symbol of the masculine aspect of the divine. He is associated with nature, wilderness, sexuality, and hunting. In traditional Wicca, the horned god and the triple goddess are seen as equals and opposite in gender polarity. Together, they make up the dual aspect of the Wiccan pantheon. Cernunnos, sometimes spelled Cernunnos, is a name originating from France where it was found on an ancient stone carving. The word itself means the horned one.
The horned god symbol also represents this guy.
We have already talked about the flute-playing Pan, who is another demonic deity that goes all the way as far back to ancient Greece. In ancient Greek religion and mythology, Pan is the god of the wild, shepherds and flocks, nature of mountain wilds, as well as rustic and free-form music. He has the hindquarters, legs, and horns of a goat, in the same manner as a faun or satyr.
He's also affiliated with sexual behavior because he's supposed to be a god of fertility. I'm not even going to show you some of the horrific things this entity gets into and encourages his occult followers to do, as well. Again, this demon is where we get our word, panic. Here is more on that and also his erotic aspects.
Disturbed in his secluded afternoon naps, Pan's angry shout inspired panic. Women who had sexual relations with several men were referred to as Pan girls.
Being associated with music, do you suppose this Pan demon could be involved with causing a sort of panic, unrest, agitated state, or anything of that nature? And hey, the music industry certainly does not encourage erotic, sexually immoral behavior, right? Wrong. They have done so for a long time and it is still going on today, unfortunately.
In the late 19th century, Pan became an increasingly common figure in literature and art. He appears in poetry, in novels, and children's books, and is referenced in the name of the character Peter Pan.
Once again, Disney picked an occult character and turned it into a whole series and franchise. Notice Peter Pan is playing a flute. So, Peter Pan appears to be the exact same entity as this demonic god that witches worship, showing another fit with this occult pattern we've seen from Disney. We have got to wonder why they just keep pushing the witchcraft angle with storyline after storyline. Why do they go around the world digging up occult figures and then glamorizing them with cartoons? Now, if you look back to the picture of Pan with the flute, it is that same appearance of the Baphomet, which also identifies him with Satan, even though Wicca witches will claim they have nothing to do with the devil. Pan is where we get the common pictures of Satan with the horns. So, this dual theism of Wicca witchcraft with the mother goddess and the male horned god are the first symbols I wanted to show. Another is the spiral. Notice that the spiral is associated with the female aspect or mother goddess, with the three aspects involving the triple moon phases. Here is more about the spiral.
Spirals have been primary goddess symbols since the late Paleolithic when they were marked on tombs. They represent the divine feminine, the movement of creation, death and rebirth.
They are talking about an ongoing cycle of life with the spiral that never ends. It is just old-fashioned reincarnation, which the Bible tells us is absolutely not true.
Hebrews 9:27. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment.
We are all going to die and stand before God, and Hebrews also says Christians will have Jesus Christ there as our mediator and advocate to speak up for us. He will confess to the Father that we Christians have been forgiven. However, if you are not a Christian and you have rejected Jesus' free gift, He won't be there for you, and you're in a heap of trouble. Wiccans believe the spiral and Mother Goddess represent the continuation of life, death, and rebirth in a supposed endless cycle. But that is not going to end well for those adherents going down that false route. They will be in for a rude awakening after taking their last breath in this life. A third symbol ties into that same life, death, and rebirth, with what's called the triple crescent. Now that you have seen it, you might be amazed at how much this symbol is actually out there in our society while we weren't realizing it. It is an occult witchcraft symbol. Notice it is also one that emphasizes the triple goddess.
A triple crescent moon icon is another means of expressing the triple goddess concept. It weaves together three crescents, with one crescent facing upward and the remaining two crescents facing left and right. The icon is also a visual representation of the three aspects of the goddess, the maiden, mother, and crone. The interior of the knot or space represents the dark goddess aspect.
Occasionally I get emails that are typically about tattoos that someone's niece, nephew, or coworker got. This relative or friend is concerned because it looks odd and they are wondering what it is that the person close to them has gotten. Often, it is young people getting tattoos of this occult stuff. A similar one to the triple crescent is this triple horn of Odin. Hey, has there been any movies lately that glamorize the Norse gods? Yes, the Avengers series does, and we'll cover that in a future study.
The triple horn of Odin is made up of three interlocking drinking horns and represents Odin, the father of Norse gods. In some stories, the horns represent the three draughts of the Odrur, a magical mead, a brew he drinks. For three nights, there's that three again, Odin managed to take a drink of the magical brew Odrur for power, and the three horns in the symbol represent these three drinks.
As I have mentioned, that symbol is portrayed in popular movies like the Avengers series with Sir Anthony Hopkins portraying Odin, King of Asgard. In fact, There is a scene where Odin even has some of that magical mead that he drinks. An Odin character also appears in a 2001 movie called American Gods, which is said to be really dark, so I certainly don't recommend that. Now I want to show you the most prominent of Wicca witchcraft symbols, one you are probably familiar with. The pentagram appears all over our society today with the music industry, movies, and all kinds of occult practices like Satanism. Here is the meaning and symbolism of that.
This Wiccan symbol is a five-pointed star. Alternative names include the star pentagon, the pentalpha, or the pentangle. Sometimes it has a circle around it, but it is still a pentagram even without the circle. The word pentagram stems from the Greek, pente meaning five and gram meaning line. To witches, the pentagram is a symbol referencing high magic in some circles.
They believe that carrying their pentagram around is going to give them extensive protection and power. This symbol goes back to the Greeks and even as far back as the Babylonians. Again, that is no surprise because it is all evil witchcraft, whether Wicca today or the origin of witchcraft back in Babylon. This is nothing new. It started way back then and is still going on today. In fact, the pentagram symbol was once a secret sign used by those involved in the Pythagoras school. For those hooked on math, Pythagoras was the mathematician who came up with the Pythagorean theorem. Secret signs like that have been common throughout history, including in the early Christian church that used the fish symbol at a time they were under heavy persecution from the Roman Empire, who was killing Christians in arenas with the help of hungry lions. Christians would write that fish symbol in the dirt to secretly let people know they were Christian. Similarly, the Greeks, who were involved with the Pythagoras school, would let people know they were part of it by using the pentagram. And speaking of the early church, another historical use of the pentagram included the Roman Emperor, Constantine, who used it as his government seal and was the guy responsible for bringing paganism into the Christian church. He made Christianity accepted and even popular, but also allowed it to get flooded with a bunch of phony baloney pagan believers. Before that time, it was not easy to be a Christian with all the persecution happening over a couple of centuries. During those times, your life was on the line as a Christian. Do you think there were a lot of fake Christians then? No. Who would pretend to be Christian and risk being thrown to the lions? That persecution kept the church pure until Constantine came along, claiming he had converted to Christianity. In fact, he made it the official religion of the Roman Empire. To this day, there is a big debate about whether he was really Christian or just an opportunist pagan. But that combination of Christians and pagans into one religion formed the future Roman Catholic Church. And that changed from the persecution of Christians and took the heat off them, so that anyone and everyone could start attending church services. Do we have to deal with that same false teaching in our Christian church today? Yes, there are still a lot of phonies in our churches. Shortly after Constantine, Roman Catholicism took off with the first pope. That resulted in civilization being plunged into what is called the Dark Ages, where Roman Catholicism not only controlled the governments in that whole hemisphere of our planet, but they also controlled religion. They had a stranglehold on both until the Protestant Reformation came along to lead people away from those pagan practices and back to the Bible, where the church again followed the teachings of God over man. Again, Constantine's official seal, and his amulet, were pentagrams. So that speaks to his true background. Pentagrams are often worn by witches around their necks as amulets and used for occult rituals like necromancy. Here is more about the pentagram, according to witches.
If the star has one point up, the star has positive meanings, pentacle. With two points up, it maintains more sinister meanings, pentagram.
Those are their words and not mine. Now that you know this, do you remember the exciting new logo of the Democrat Party? What version of that star do they have? Is it the one point up that is supposed to be the good version? No. They chose the two points up and one point down. Witchcraft tells us that version has the sinister meanings. It reminds me of the catchphrase Jeff Foxworthy uses, "There's your sign."
Today, some Wiccans still use the pentagram with a single point up, pentacle, to serve as a form of magical protection. The five-pointed star or pentagram is by far the most easily recognizable Wiccan symbol. Each point represents one of the five alchemical elements: air, water, fire, earth, and spirit. It is said that the upright pentagram symbolizes the triumph of the spirits over matter and earthly desires, while the inverted pentagram symbolizes personal gratification over spirituality. The pentagram is used to invoke or banish forces and also as a shield against psychic or physical danger. It can be used as a protection symbol or a lucky charm, but it's generally considered sacred by Wiccans and other pagans.
Notice that keyword, pagans. The pentagram is huge in the occult. Also, notice how they say the five points represent what are called the five elements. These elements are used in witch rituals to assist with their supposed dirty deeds like spells, incantations, and hexes. The elements are air, fire, water, earth, and what is called ether or the spirit. Here's more on those.
Alchemical symbols. Greek philosopher Empedocles was the first to propose four elements: fire, earth, air, and water. He called them the four roots which make up everything else. The fifth element is known as ether, or spirit. These five elements are invoked during many magical rituals, notably when consecrating a magic circle.
So, the pentagram isn't just important to them for the shape used, or to wear as a talisman for protection. Each one of those five points represents what they call the five elements and, depending on what a witch wants to do, they steer their incantations toward the right element. This aspect of the elements is huge in the occult, so let's break those five down, beginning with the first one you see there at the upper left.
Air is one of the four classic elements, and is often invoked in Wiccan and other occult rituals. Air is the element of the East, connected to the soul and the breath of life. In many magical traditions, air is associated with various spirits and elemental beings. In some belief systems, angels and devas, demons, are associated with air.
That's interesting because Paul mentions something about air.
Ephesians 2:1-2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
Obviously, that refers to Satan and his demons. It is the kind of practices the Ephesians used to follow before becoming Christians. So, witchcraft believes and practices the same as those people had with the air element aspect of their pentagram symbol. The next one we want to look at is the Wiccan idea of the earth element and its supposed ley lines that the occult and New Age are also into.
In the four classical elements, earth is considered the ultimate symbol of the divine feminine. In the spring, at the time of new growth and life, the earth quickens and grows full with the beginnings of each year's crop. The image of earth as mother is no coincidence, for millennia people have seen the earth as a source of life, a giant womb. Some people believe that lines of energy, called ley lines, run through the earth. The idea of ley lines as magical, mystical, occult alignments is a fairly modern one. One school of thought believes that these lines carry positive or negative energy. It is also believed that where two or more lines converge, you have a place of great power and energy.
They believe a witch can go to one of these super-duper hot spots where their rituals, spells and hexes will be ramped up to turbo mode.
It is believed that many well-known sacred sites, such as Stonehenge, Glastonbury Tor, Sedona, and Machu Picchu sit at the convergence of several lines.
Of course, those locations love this idea for the tourism it brings. However, what other horrible behavior are they inviting with it, including New Agers, witches, and other occult practitioners? The earth point on their pentagram also symbolizes Gaia, Mother Earth, worship. The Egyptian god of the land was Geb, and with Wiccan tarot cards, earth is associated with the pentagram, suit of pentacles. Let's move on to the third element, which is fire.
In the symbolism of the four classical elements, fire is a purifying, masculine energy, associated with the south, and connected to strong will and energy. Fire destroys, and yet it also can create new life.
Witchcraft believes fire helps provide transformation, growth, and change for witches and their desired outcomes. The way they perform a fire ritual often involves candles, which is why candles are prominent in the occult. They are a quick way to get a flame. Often when police visit spots where Wiccan rituals have been carried out, they will find evidence of a fire or candles. Sometimes Wiccan witches and other occultists also build large fires called bonfires. Witches use fire for scrying and divination, just as Nostradamus, or Nostradamus, did. He used water with his witchcraft technique of scrying, which can also involve staring at fire. Often scryers take hallucinogens while scrying to help give them visions. That process can work with fire or water. In our study, New Age and the Last Day's Deception, we talk about Shirley MacLaine's television series from the 1980s, Out on a Broken Limb. Actually, that should have been the name, but the real one is Out on a Limb. In it, they showed a lot of her meditating to get into an altered state of consciousness by staring at a candle flame, a fire. That is a classic occult technique to produce visions and connect with spirits, demons. Bonfires are an important pagan tradition for witches on an annual day they call Beltane. We will look at their holidays and rituals, but the word holiday comes from holy day, so we really need to call the pagan ones unholy days. Besides Halloween, Beltane is an unholy witchcraft day where it is common to have a bonfire. It is also called a bale fire because it is often made from bales of straw or wood. It was started back with the Druids and the Celts. They would also call it a bone fire because they burned animal bones. Some reports say this ritual even included human bones that they would burn in their bonfires, which supposedly would ward off evil spirits. Today, witchcraft still does these bonfires, or balefires, but the name has been cleaned up a bit to make it bonfire. They may have had a harder time getting people to stop over to burn animal or human bones. But when someone says, bonfire, that sounds like a good time and a chance to have s'mores. But you do not want to be a part of that. Bonfires were also used in rituals to supposedly purify. And as we saw earlier with some modern-day witches and Wiccans, they like to leap over their fires.
Couples who were to be wed on May Day would leap through the flames of the bonfire to seal their vows. Coals from a bonfire would be taken home to light the fires in family hearths. This practice was thought to bring good fortune.
When you think about it, those may have been hot bones they were taking from a fire, potentially including human ones. So, it was kind of revolting. Besides their bonfires, they would also have a maypole on May Day, which included maypole dances, which they still have today. The maypole dance you see there is a sort of cleaned-up version being depicted to look like colonial times. Originally though, the Celts, Druids, and Pagans did their maypole dance around a tree as part of their nature worship ritual to help them with fertility. Again, it was typically performed on May Day, which was normally May 1st, and that is still a public holiday all around the world, including here in the United States. But it is about this ancient occult festival. Also, something interesting happened in 1889 with the choosing of May Day as the date for a celebration by an organization called the International Workers' Day of Socialists and Communists. I am sure they just chose that occult holiday randomly, right? No, they did not. I do not have time to get deeply into this, but the originator of communism, Karl Marx, was involved with the occult. In fact, on his deathbed, he burned fire candles to Lucifer. I don't know if he was trying to purify himself of whatever sickness he had, but it obviously didn't work. And the report is that Marx screamed this at his nurse, who asked him if he had any last words.
Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough.
Then he died and is probably, unfortunately, still in hell to this day. Another prominent part of May Day celebrations are flowers, and it goes back to the Floralia pagan festival in Rome, in worship of the Roman goddess, Flora, which is also where we get our word for the state of Florida, meaning land of flowers. The next element on their five-pointed star is water.
In the four classical elements, water is a feminine energy and highly connected with the aspects of the goddess. The inverted triangle itself is considered feminine and is associated with the shape of the womb. Water is connected to the West and is typically related to healing and purification.
Especially at the time of a full moon, Wiccans, other witches, and occultists use water to do their water scrying. Just like the way they use fire, water is put into in a bowl, pot, or wherever, and they stare at it to get into an altered state of consciousness so they can receive visions and communicate with demons. In fact, witches believe water can be used to meditate until you are able to communicate with water spirits. They call them undines, which are just more familiar spirits like pixies or leprechauns, which the Bible points out as the same old demons. Again, witches say water symbolizes purification, and they actually say they use it to create what they call holy water. They typically combine it with salt and their magical occult workings to make a concoction that supposedly purifies and cleanses them for their rituals. Do you know of any other faith that has this holy water practice, which is straight out of the occult? Roman Catholicism uses so-called holy water, and it is useless. If you have ever been doused with Catholic holy water, nothing happened except for you getting wet. But it is very interesting to see more of this pattern of behavior coming out of Roman Catholicism that also comes straight from Roman witchcraft practices. Witches and Catholicism both still use holy water today. Witches also prescribe water rituals for love spells, supposedly because water is fluid, like love is a fluid emotion. They also prescribe water spells for rituals meant to carry away anything negative, because water transports things away from us. So, water is the fourth element. The last of their pentagram points that we want to talk about is the ether or spirit.
Believing nature abhors a vacuum, Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, believes ether is what fills all invisible space. It is the quintessence or the fifth essence. In ancient India, ether is Akasha.
We dealt with ether in our New Age study, as far as what is called the Akashic Records.
The Akashic Records is a compendium of all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intent ever to have occurred in the past, present, or future in terms of all entities and life forms, not just human.
Theoretically, they are claiming all that information is stored on some mental plane of existence above us, which is something we can tap into through the occult and have access to all knowledge and experiences in history to supposedly help us gain wisdom and help the success of whatever rituals witches perform. Obviously, it's not true, as we dealt with it extensively in our New Age study. Here are more of their claims about those Akashic records that can supposedly be accessed from your mind when you use occult techniques that will get you into an altered state of consciousness, allowing demons to contact you more easily.
Only a trained occultist can distinguish between actual experience and those astral pictures created by imagination and keen desire.
It's all demonic and none of it is coming from God. So, those are the elements from all 5 points of their pentagram. We spent a lot of time on that because it's very involved, as you see. The next Wiccan witchcraft symbol we want to mention is the hexagram, which is 2 triangles put together.
In putting all the element triangles together, it is like merging 2 pyramids, one pointing towards the earth and the other pointing toward the sky.
When merging 2 triangles in this manner, it creates a 6-pointed star called a hexagram. It also shows the merging of the feminine and masculine divine.
It is also representative of a prominent occult action that says, as above, so below. The hexagram is also part of the Hindu belief system, as well as many others. In fact, some say this hexagram symbol proves the Jewish people are involved in the occult because it is the same shape as their Star of David. I don't necessarily buy into that. We do see other entities who have abused it for occult purposes, just as witches do today, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's what the Jewish people are using it for. That said, if you do the research as I have, that Star of David did become instituted in Israel through Jewish Kabbalists, who are those Jews involved with Jewish mysticism, which is about occult practices. So, there is an occult tie there, but common sense tells us that doesn't necessarily mean the Jewish people are following the occult. The Star of David has become the flag of Israel that you see depicted as a blue star on a white background between 2 horizontal blue stripes. Israel adopted that 5 months after they became a nation in 1948 and it is called the Flag of Zion. So, it may be used by witches and others in the past, but that doesn't mean Israel is involved with those pagan practices, even though it was introduced by those following Jewish Kabbalah. Maybe some Jews do see it as an occult symbol because there is a huge variety of beliefs in Judaism, just as other large communities of believers. As we saw in our study called, Judaism, not all Jews are Orthodox. Some are even very secular, and of all places this could be true, Israel is actually one of the most welcoming places for homosexuality on the planet. A lot of Jewish people are secular these days, so they tend to be pro-abortion and extremely liberal in many other ways. Again, they are not all Orthodox, but I don't think we can throw the baby out with the bathwater on that. Just because the country's flag is a hexagram, does not mean they are representing witchcraft with it. I don't think that will fly, even though Judaism is an eclectic group. Here's another occult symbol.
The unicursal hexagram is a 6-pointed star that can be traced in one continuous line rather than by 2 overlaid triangles. This is significant in ritual magic when invoking and vanishing hexagrams must be made. It is typically associated with the teachings of Thelema or the Golden Dawn.
We'll get to the Golden Dawn in a minute, but first let's talk about Thelema, which was created by a familiar guy who comes into play again. Aleister Crowley used the unicursal hexagram and even added something you can see here in the middle of it. The symbol is a version of the occult phrase that is number 1 law of Satanism, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," which came from Aleister Crowley. And then in the middle, Crowley put what looks like maybe a clover but is actually a 5-petaled flower, which represents the pentagram. If you see that out in public, now you will know what it is. The unicursal hexagram is also used in the secret society called the Golden Dawn, which was active in Great Britain as well as other parts of Europe and areas around our world.
The Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn was a secret society devoted to the study and practice of the occult, metaphysics, and paranormal activities during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Many present-day concepts of ritual and magic, such as Wicca and Thelema, were inspired by the Golden Dawn, which became one of the largest single influences on 20th century Western occultism.
Another familiar organization pops as the founders of this Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is full on occult. The three founders of Golden Dawn were Freemasons and, Lord willing, we will have an in-depth study of them during our series. Long explanation short, Freemasons worship a light that ends up being Lucifer. This next witchcraft symbol is the witch's knot. It's also called the witch's ladder, and symbolizes knots that witches put together during rituals for cursing and hexing people. Here is more on that.
The witch's knot is a protection symbol in folk magic. It represents the knot magic practiced by witches during the Middle Ages and was used as a charm against witchcraft, usually carved on doorways, homes, and stables. It can be a powerful protection amulet, as it symbolizes the binding powers of witches and magic.
Again, it was not just for protection because witches use it also for subjecting people to spells, hexes, or curses. In practice, they take cord and recite their incantations as they tie the cord into knots. Other times they tie items like feathers or beads into the knots as prescribed by a particular ritual. Here is more about what they do with their knots.
The hole is then hidden in the mattress of the one you are bewitching. The maker would weave into it aches and pains and other ailments intended for the victim. Sometimes feathers, bones, and other trinkets are braided into the string as symbols for a desired spell effect. Either way, special chants are spoken during the creation process to empower the talisman to do its creator's bidding. It was believed that witches of old cast a death spell over a person by tying the knots and then hiding the cord, and the only way to undo the spell was to find the secreted cord and untie each knot before it killed the person.
That brings us back to their phrase from so-called witch ethics in their Wiccan read.
Do what you will so long as it harms none.
But we just read about their attempts to inflict aches, pains, ailments, and even death spells meant to kill people. What part of that am I missing here? What does it mean when you claim not to harm anyone but then in your practices you even go to the point of trying to kill people with your ritual symbols? Another common witch symbol is Hecate's wheel, and you'll remember she is the ancient Greek goddess of witchcraft.
Hecate is the Greek goddess of magic, witchcraft, and crossroads. She is often depicted as a woman with three faces and she rules the underworld. The symbol shows a labyrinthic serpent, which represents rebirth, surrounding a spiral as a symbol of the emanations of divine thought. These are channels which connect the material world with the celestial world.
As we saw earlier, Hecate is supposed to be the goddess of crossroads and the go-between from our world to the spirit world for people to tap into deities, which is all demonic. And notice she has three heads. The Hecate's wheel symbolizes the triple goddess, maiden, mother, and crone. The maze in that symbol is supposed to represent the spiraling of the serpent. This symbol goes as far back as the 1st century with cursed tablets that were found having Hecate's wheel on them. Hey, did they just call those harm none tablets? No, they were cursed tablets. Now, speaking of threes, we're going to look at that occult number a bit deeper with this next symbol. The triquetra is huge in witchcraft. Of course, tri means three and is common with triple moon symbols. Again, it is nothing new for modern-day Wicca witchcraft, which is just old-fashioned witchcraft.
This ancient Wiccan symbol of power and protection has been around for centuries. It is a symbol appearing on 11th century Swedish runes and Germanic coins. It also appears in Nordic and Celtic inscriptions. The triquetra represents the connection between the mind, body, and soul. It also signifies the sky, earth, and ocean waters.
Over and over again, witches use the number, three, and it's so pervasive in witchcraft that they call it the power of three. Unfortunately, a lot of people watched a show that featured the triquetra. Charmed, 1998-2006, had three witches representing witchcraft's power of three. The idea is that one witch can be powerful, but when you get three together, it amplifies the witchcraft to a whole new magnitude. There is something about three that they believe will really put witchcraft into turbo mode. Sadly, the Charmed show was restarted again in 2018 with an emphasis on that power of three. So, they did a reboot to promote that stuff to a whole new generation. Here is more on the triquetra.
Triquetra, also known as the Trinity Knot, has many different meanings. In Wicca, it can represent the law of threefold return, the power of the number three, or the threefold nature of the goddess. The Celtic Christian Church used it to represent the Holy Trinity, but other cultures use the symbol too, and each attached its own meaning to it.
Lord willing, we will have a future study on this topic of numerology, number symbolism, because the occult is hugely into numbers. You're getting a taste of it with their 3 and 13. A lot of people believe that even certain notable events, catastrophes, assassinations, and other happenings of that nature are carried out by the occult and witches on specific dates. The dirty deeds are done by the dark occult on specific dates. That is how much they are into their numbers. In fact, a mathematician named Martin Gardner wrote a book called The Magic Numbers of Dr. Matrix. He brought out some interesting numerical aspects surrounding the assassinations of two of our presidents. We will see if you think it's all just a coincidence. Here are some quotes from the book.
Lincoln was elected president in 1860, Kennedy in 1960. Both were assassinated on a Friday. Lincoln was killed in Ford's Theater. Kennedy was killed riding in a Lincoln convertible made by the Ford Motor Company. Both were succeeded by Southern Democrats named Johnson. Andrew Johnson was born in 1808, Lyndon Johnson in 1908. The first name of Lincoln's private secretary was John. The last name of Kennedy's private secretary was Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was born in 1839. Lee Harvey Oswald was in 1939. Booth shot Lincoln in the theater and fled to a warehouse. Oswald shot Kennedy from a warehouse and fled to a theater. John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald both have 15 letters. The first public suggestion that Lincoln should run for president proposed that his running mate should be a guy named John Kennedy, who was a Maryland politician at that time. Shift the letters, FBI, forward 6 letters in the alphabet and you get LHO, the initials of Lee Harvey Oswald.
These coincidences are quite startling.
I'm not promoting numerology or things of that nature, but what I am telling you is that the occult is very into numbers to the point that they carry out their plans on certain days. Along with occult numerology, what we will look in the next chapter is the witch's calendar. With that, they do things like planning an event for the 31st and then flipping the numbers around so they begin working toward it on the 13th. It is all part of occult numerology. And speaking of numbers, I don't want to put too much into this, but it is interesting and goes right along with what we've already seen from today's Democrat Party and their affiliation with Wicca witchcraft, as well as other occult practices. Again, I believe the Democrat Party has been completely infiltrated by the occult, with aspects like the BLM movement being run by 3 lesbian witches and how witchcraft promotes socialism just as the Democrat Party does, as well as murdering children in the womb and older adults through euthanasia. Both those last two are practiced in witchcraft with their curses, hexes, and human sacrifice. Today's Democrat Party has core views that are anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-Bible. Because of that, where have they turned to for their foundational ethics? It is the occult, which just so happens to be into numerology. And here is what's interesting with this 2020 election: the Democrat nominee for president, Joe Biden, has been out there promoting people to text the campaign at 3,0,3,3,0. With what I'm about to show you, the mathematical odds of them picking this exact number are exponentially astronomical. Why in the world, of all the possible combinations of numbers on the planet, did they come up with 3,0,3,3,0? Try this: the Democrat Party is running Biden for president here in 2020. So, put 2020 in your calculator and divide that by the number for the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, or 666. What pops up? It's 30,330. Now, is that by chance? Again, I'm not going to say that carries the weight of "Thus saith the Lord," but it is interesting, especially when you know that threes are prominent in occult numerology. Why didn't they make it something easy like 1,2,3,4,5? I mean, if Biden has an issue with memory, as he may very well have, why not make it much simpler with something like 11,111? I find that interesting. Speaking of threes, we'll continue that theme with our Triskelion symbol. We just finished dividing 2020 by the number that the Bible warns about, 6,6,6, and the occult has an opposite view of that number. The Bible lets us know it is the number of the beast, or Antichrist, and we don't want any part of it. But the occult actually likes the Antichrist. They want to be a part of the Antichrist's so-called kingdom. Well, some say the Triskelion is representative of 3 sixes because it is straight out of witchcraft.
A Triskelion has 3 spirals, all which interlock. It signifies the ocean waters, earth, and space, or the cosmos. This symbol also aligns with the triple goddess/goddess symbolism.
The triskelion or triskiel is a symbol used primarily by groups with a Celtic cultural orientation, which may have its origins in an ancient solar symbol. It can represent a variety of triplicities, such as the three realms of body, mind, and spirit, the threefold law.
So, threes are very important in the occult, including the triskelion, which is an ancient symbol that even appears in Buddhist writings. Another version is the three hairs triskelion that features three rabbits with interlocking ears. Another important number in occult numerology is 13. In fact, that number has been associated with evil to the point where millions of people are so terrified of 13 that it's hard to find a hotel with a 13th floor, airlines sometimes omit row 13, and many other areas of our society shy away from it, like the numbers for the Formula One cars skipping from 12 to 14. If they have 20 cars, they are numbered 1 through 21 with no 13th. Many cults and religions have sacred numbers, including Freemasonry, which is an organization that is all about the occult. Another occult symbol is the septagram, which has seven, sept, points in a continuous unbroken line. Here is that with the pagans describing more familiar spirits, types of demons.
Neo-pagans view the septagram as a symbol representing the fairies and elves. It is therefore called the fairy star or elven star. The septagram is a symbol worn by practitioners of blue star Wicca. They refer to the symbol as the septagram. Each of the points aligns with the first seven planets discovered and used in ancient astrology. Each point of the star aligns with the 7 days of the week. The heptagram is also a reference to the Islamic Quran's first seven verses.
That last point tells you a bit about the Muslim faith's background. Here is another occult symbol called the Wheel of the Year, which has four intersecting lines that create eight spokes. This symbol tells witches when, on the calendar, to perform their rituals.
The Wheel of the Year, this symbol represents the cycle of seasons, which serve as a calendar for Wiccans. The seasons are divided by eight holidays called Shabbats. These are celebrations that honor the particular qualities of each time of the year and the relationship of followers with the divinity.
Again, we'll look at the Wiccan witch's occult calendar in the next chapter. It follows the phases of the year, step by step, and the Wheel of the Year symbolizes that. Now, I want to deal with this final symbol that will also bring up what was going on with Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party.
The solar cross represents not only the sun but also the cyclical nature of the four seasons and the four classical elements. The solar cross has many different representations, and it's probably the oldest religious symbol in the world, appearing in Asian, American, European, and Indian religious art. Consisting of an equilateral cross inside a circle, it represents the solar calendar, each arm being one of the solstices and equinoxes.
One of witchcraft's solar cross representations is something we all know well but didn't realize it was from occult witches. It was not by chance that Hitler chose his swastika, or solar cross. This symbol goes way back in the occult to Hinduism and other areas of the world that have been covered in witchcraft. Hitler chose the swastika as his symbol because it is from the occult and the German Nazis wore their swastikas everywhere. Now, I'm not going to say it would have turned everyone away, but if the Germans and others would have known that the swastika was about Nazis confessing that they were all about the occult, do you think it might have deterred many from supporting that movement? Like then, our great disadvantage around the world today is that most people do not know about the occult. They have never been taught about it and certainly don't know the symbolism. The occult will tell you what they're up to, so you only need to pay attention and understand the symbolism. But if you do not get equipped with what to look for, they can broadcast their numbers and symbols widely to the public and it just goes in one ear and out the other. Studies, like this one on witchcraft, are valuable to help people realize the secret societies and other occult organizations that constantly project the fact that they are right in our midst and doing dirty deeds through their numbers and symbols. It was the same with Hitler. From his beginnings, when Hitler chose the swastika as his symbol, he was announcing that he was all about the occult. I will give you some of that proof from non-Christian, secularist, authors, who wrote what witnesses said at the Nuremberg Nazi trials, those who'd been around Hitler. This is what they said about the man who was an evolutionist and heavy into the occult.
Any close look at the life of Hitler will reveal the potentiality of such a man being a type of the Antichrist.
In fact, he's probably the greatest model for the Antichrist that we've ever seen in history.
Hitler not only hated God and Jesus Christ, but he hated the Jews and attempted to wipe them from the earth in a satanic plot to eliminate them before God could redeem them and give them a kingdom as he has promised in the Bible. Hitler was not just demonic, but if ever there was a man possessed, not just by demons or a demon, but by Satan himself, it had to be Hitler.
If only Germans would have realized what Hitler was about, he might have been stopped right from the start when he flat out told the world that he was all about serious dark occult magic. Here is more of what the authors wrote, with my comments interspersed. I won't put quotes around it, but this is mostly excerpts from their book.
It is impossible to understand Hitler's political plans, beliefs, and convictions without an understanding of his magical relationship with the occult. Hitler was fascinated with mysticism and immersed in it. He saw his own rise as a result of spiritual forces that were pushing him in that direction. The explanation of Hitler's deeds was powered by a mystical satanic covenant. Hitler and the Nazi society were a secret occult society. That's why he chose the swastika symbol. Hitler's whole Third Reich was wedded to the black occult. One of the greatest Nazi generals was a well-known man named Karl Haushofer, who was, for many years, a member of the secret society of the Golden Dawn. It's an age-old black magic occult society. Haushofer inspired Hitler to write Mein Kampf. Haushofer had visited Tibet, China, and India, where the swastika appears. He adopted Buddhist beliefs and was initiated into secret Buddhist black magic societies, of which suicide was the only way of escape, which is how many of the Nazis ended up killing themselves, because that's what the occult does. It was said that Haushofer had amazing psychic powers and was the black magician that controlled Hitler. Even Rudolf Hess said that Haushofer had the power as the magician between Hitler and his demonic legions. It was as if Hitler was a medium and Haushofer was the magician. The swastika was no German sign. The swastika was a magical symbol in China and Europe, a symbol of the black occult. In fact, in 1925, a group of Tibetan monks moved to Berlin, and these Tibetan monks were members of a black order, swearing allegiance to the power of darkness. From that time on, funds were made available by the Nazis to finance expeditions into Mongolia and Tibet to dig deeper into the black occult. And when Germany fell, several hundred in the Nazi Secret Service, SS, were Himalaya Orientals that had no ID but were found in the SS uniforms. So, these black occult guys were woven into the Nazi ranks. The whole Third Reich was infested with monks from the black occult. Rosenberg wrote that they were the last of the black monks, who helped Hitler's dark, menacing movement. In March of 1946, Haushofer killed his wife and then himself before a Buddhist altar. His son, who survived, said that he knew his father was the magician behind Hitler. In fact, the seven founders of Nazism were all deep into the occult. One cannot help but think of him, Hitler, as a medium. When he spoke, it was not his natural voice. He was possessed by demonic forces that he was a temporary vehicle for. When he got up in crowds to speak, the voice they heard was not his voice. It was an unearthly voice, not at all like the voice that he used in conversation.
So, Hitler was a man possessed by Satan, and one person describes how Hitler spent his last days.
A person close to Hitler told me that he woke up in the night, screaming and in convulsions. He calls for help and appears to be half paralyzed. He is seized with a panic, remember Pan, that makes him tremble until the bed shakes. He utters confused and unintelligible sounds, gasping, as if at the point of suffocation. Hitler was standing up in his room, swaying and looking all around as if he were lost. It's he, he groaned, he's come for me. His lips were white, he was sweating profusely. Suddenly, he uttered a string of meaningless figures, then words and scraps of sentences. It was terrifying. Then suddenly he screamed, there. There. Over in the corner. He is there. All the time stamping with his feet and shouting.
The authors say Hitler was a man totally possessed by Satan, attempting to take over the whole world, blaspheming God, and attempting to wipe out the Jews. That is a preview of the Antichrist. And the same type of person is coming to the planet again. In fact, he may be alive and well today, living somewhere on our globe. And my guess is that the rising Antichrist is involved with the same occult practices Hitler was. Like Hitler, he is going to be possessed by Satan and may be already. It is not going to be good. But again, in order for that to happen, in order for people to go along with a satanic, occult figure called the Antichrist, the planet once again has to be permeated with witchcraft and the acceptance of it, which is what's happening right now. It is a setup for the Antichrist to dupe billions, wreaking his havoc in the coming last days before Christ's return. That final last days version of Hitler will be going after the Jews again. As Zechariah and Revelation 12 tell us, that Antichrist is going to annihilate two-thirds of the Jewish people. Another Holocaust is coming in the seven-year tribulation. It's crazy. As you read this, history is being repeated with this rise of Wicca witchcraft setting the stage for the Antichrist. And that's why people need to be warned about the Wiccan beliefs, symbols and even their numbers. They are telling you what they're doing, so you'll see witchcraft and the occult people in your community if you pay attention to what you find from the remains of their rituals, the numbers and symbols that they spray paint, the tattoos that they wear, and what they imprint on their shirts. They're letting you know they're out there and they're getting more and more bold. And just as Isaiah warned in our opening text, those people that go down that route are being snookered. We do not need to be scared. Instead, we need to love them enough to help. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. We need to love them enough to tell them about Jesus so they can be set free. I wonder what would happen if someone would have witnessed to Hitler. Could God have saved him? You better say, yes. If you don't understand the power of the cross of Christ. He can save anyone. And that is what we need to let people know, because every day there are folks being snookered to get involved with witchcraft. People need to be confronted in love and ask what a pastor asked this guy about how that is working out for him and whether he'd like to try Jesus instead.
Stephen Beatty was a self-professed warlock. As a Wiccan, he cast spells and had several dark demonic encounters. His trek to the dark side began in 2001 when his girlfriend had a miscarriage.
When it didn't work out and the baby was stillborn, I was completely crushed. I had no idea where to go, where to turn. I couldn't think. All I could think about was how badly and how much I wanted this child.
Stephen blamed God for his baby's death. Partly due to the miscarriage, his relationship with his girlfriend ended. Stephen was totally broken. He turned to drinking and drugs to mask the anger in his soul.
I started getting into cocaine and prescription drugs, painkillers, antidepressants, and stuff like that.
Stephen said he felt like an outcast until he entered the world of golf. That is where he met and married Dottie, who had two girls from a previous marriage.
They didn't care what I was doing. They didn't care what I looked like, and they didn't care how I acted. I remember wearing 2 to 3 inch spikes around my neck, 3 to 4 inch spikes on my wrist.
Stephen, Dottie, and their golf friends also participated in intricate role-playing games.
They had different roles like vampires, werewolves, a mage, which was a witch. They had what they called dark angels.
And that opened the door to something even darker, the occult.
At first I didn't want anything to do with it, but the more I hung out and the more I was there, I think I started searching for some kind of religious stability because I needed a set of beliefs to live by. And I didn't want to change my life. So Wicca kind of fit the bill at the time.
The Wiccan rituals and spells opened him up to what he calls demonic encounters. One day at his home, Stephen and some friends noticed an object, a knife moving on its own.
It started spinning and nobody was touching it. And one of my friends looked at me, he said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "Yes." And everybody that was in the house left.
Months later, he had an encounter he would never forget.
In the dead center of my room, there was a dark figure just kind of sitting cross-legged. It was just sitting there looking at me and levitating off the floor. It gives you chills, and it was really scary.
Stephen was terrified when he saw the power of Satan. He knew his life needed to change. Then one day, while attending his stepdaughter's soccer practice, he met another dad, a pastor who invited him to church.
I said, "I'm gonna tell you why I don't go to church. I said, I'm a witch. I believe in Wicca." And he just looks me and he says, "Well, how's that working out for you?" And I said, "Not too good."
The pastor gave him a Bible and Stephen began reading. And then on Easter Sunday, he went to church to see his stepdaughter sing in the choir. That was the day his life totally changed.
It was just the music, the songs, and just the message. It was just the way the story of Christ was laid out, that it really made me understand that I needed Christ in my life, and that I was a sinner.
Stephen began to pray.
I told God that I knew that I was wrong in the way that I lived. That everything about my life was wrong, and I needed forgiveness, and I just wanted Jesus. I just wanted Christ in my heart and in my life. It was an overnight change. I had already given up almost everything from my past. I was still drinking, but it was, like, overnight. I didn't want to drink anymore. My language cleared up. Just the way that I carried myself, it was an overnight change.
It was a guy who was completely lost and steeped in the occult. But, inside and out, what was it that completely changed him overnight? It was Jesus Christ, and he's why we have some good news to share that is called the gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ can save and forgive anyone, no matter what they've done. And we have the privilege to tell others that joyful message.